Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the Root Zone LGR study group call on 26th of November 2018. We have Dennis, Ajay, Gaurav, Mirjana, Vitinan, and Sarmat on the call. Is there anybody else on the call?
Yeah,
Desalin. Hi, Desalin. So we also have Desalin on the call. Welcome. So over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarman. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. All right, so let's, on the chat room, I share with you the link to the Google Doc. Please open it. And we will go right to the where we left last time. So let me say, before we do that, I've revised recommendation 3 with the input that we discussed last week. Please, if you're not speaking, put your mic on mute. Thank you. Revised recommendation 3 based on the input we had last week. And the one thing here, we talk about a potentially posing a question in the reports for the community to answer or give us input. And I'm not sure, I was trying to come up with the question that we want, and not sure this is what we want to capture here. So I put that in a box as a note so that it's clearly highlighted and that we're seeking a specific input from the community there. For those that participated in last week's call, let me ask, does this capture the intent that we would discuss? I mean, I think, please, we're still hearing background noise. If you can put yourself on mute while you are not speaking. Thank you. Okay, somebody's busy doing something but and cannot hear us. Can we mute the lines, Pitin and Sarma? I think that's fixed. All right. We're good. All right, so going back. So last week, as I was saying, one thing that came up during the conversation was that maybe we want to ask a question to the community to receive input as whether recommendation 3 or its details, it's really something that this group should be discussing or offering input to the community. And the context is the those scripts, those labels that are considered invalid per the Roots and LGR, and should this group recommend anything but saying that, okay, it's the Roots and LGR determines the label invalid, and that's it, that's the answer, and we stop there, instead of developing and providing more detail as to the use cases and where policy might do something different in different cases. So I think that was the spirit of us asking the question whether we should develop, in this case, points 3.1 through 3.6 in the final report, or we just stay at the, you know, high level portion of the recommendation, which is only capturing point 3. And let me pause there and ask you for your feedback and reactions. And I have Sarmat raising the hand. Sarmat, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. So I would actually want to point out to an SAC recommendation in SAC 60 in this context. Maybe that will give us some context. So I will share the link of this document. And if you go to this document and scroll down to the executive summary, that's like just page 2, and read recommendation 2. So basically recommendation 2 says that ICANN must maintain a secure and stable and objective process to resolve cases in which some members of the community do not agree with the result of the LGR calculation. So I think there is a recommendation by SAC where if people, and they specifically say, for example, an applicant for a TLD. So I think this recommendation calls for a certain possible process, which is obviously going to be policy. But I think what we are doing in in the current recommendation 3 for this study group, I think we are in a way developing a process like that, where we are saying that when this process is developed downstream, these are the considerations which should be taken in place. So that's one context where I see at least recommendation 3, for example, could be useful. And this is one possible, argument which can be presented by the study group to say, say that that's the motivation for recommendation 3 from the study group. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarman. That's a very good point. Anyone else? AJ, please go ahead.
I actually want to read that recommendation by ASAC and have an interpretation clearly that we are not moving or we are moving in the right direction. Sarma, can you please take a minute and explain it, that how do we extend our boundaries beyond our scope, or can we get into the shoes of policy also and recommend them how to design their policies, and these are the boundaries.
Right. So we obviously not doing policy. I think, of course, that's beyond the scope of the study group. But what we are saying is that if such a issue arises, and it can, as also has been raised by SAC, where an applicant does not agree with the calculation and challenges it, what SAC is saying is that there has to be some kind of mechanism to address it. What this is doing is connecting that directly back to the generation panel. So currently what is happening is that an applicant says, I don't agree. There is no mechanism to address that by taking it. We understand that the obvious thing would, but there's no documentation anywhere within ICANN which says that, okay, in that case, please let's take that back to the generation panel. And that's what the policy is going to do. What we are saying here is informing the policymakers is that if that situation arises, it can arise through these possible ways, and this is the technical possible mechanism to address that. Otherwise, if it is addressed in some other ways, the root zone LGR which exists becomes invalidated. And so in a case, we are really protecting the root zone LGR, but we are saying policymakers that if you do something different, then it actually damages the root zone LGR itself. So in a way, we are saying, please don't do these extra things. If you have to develop a policy to address a concern, bring it back to the generation panel so that the root zone LGR framework remains intact. Thank you.
Okay.
Does that satisfy your concern, AJ?
Not fully, but I think let us not stretch it. Let us move further. We will see. Because it is probably, from my point of view, it is becoming circle here, and which direction to take, let me also think it a little more. If I have a better idea, we'll come back, otherwise we'll move in this direction. Thank you.
Thank you, AJ. So let me offer this. I think I understand your concern or your at least the way you are taking this in, and I think the key word that you said it was you think this is circular, and I think it's designed this way because there is no other mechanism out there that we could use in order to resolve these type of issues. We are saying that the rules and I think it's a good time to remind ourselves that the rules on LGR exist today, but right now it exists in a vacuum, if you will, because no policy says that you can use that or you should or must use the rules on LGR to validate. So the work that we're doing is trying to bridge that gap, that void that exists today, and inform policy makers the rules on LGR exist. There is an LGR procedure by which scripts or generation panels develop the script level LGRs, and then an integration panel integrates those, and that's the way the rules on LGR comes to exist. Because policymakers do not understand. I mean, some maybe understand, but most think they are not attached or they are not involved in these, you know, technical aspects of how the rules on LGR came to exist. So, it's this work is important, and the way I see it, and the way it was explained to me, that this work is to serve as an educational piece, if you will, for policymakers and understand what's the role of the LGR procedure and how the LGR procedure produces the rules on LGR. And there is an established process by which certain cases, certain issues need to be resolved in that way. So I see how you see this as a circular because it's meant to be that way. It's per design that we are saying, if you have issues, go back to the LGR procedure and do it that way. There is no other process. Otherwise, doing that would invalidate the rules on LGR itself, and we don't want that. AJ, you want to respond? Oh, you agree. Thank you. All right. So I think this is settled. I think for this part, I don't think we need to answer we need to post a question. We just need to perhaps refer back to SAC 060, and we are addressing SAC 050 recommendation 2 and providing the information that the community needs to develop the appropriate policy to deal with this. All right, so So number 4, which was number 3 like 2 weeks ago, that's we already discussed that. It's still there. Comments are still there, so anybody can provide more feedback. Number 5, we already deal with that. I don't think that's there. 6 and 7 are now addressed by 3 and 4, so just deleted that. This will go away next week. So we jump now to the next item, which is about single character TLDs. And here we, early in our conversations, we talk about referring back to SAC 052, really not addressing anything new or offering new input. but just reminding policymakers that SAC 052 is there and they should read through that. Now, I also understand and I'm aware there is the PDP for subsequent procedures, and they are also talking about single character TLDs there. If you see the initial report that they published a few weeks ago, or I think several months ago, the public comment just came out a few weeks ago, there is a piece of this in single character ID, single character IDN applications. And so based on that, I'm not sure if we need to address this point here, if we're not offering something new. It's just a question for us to discuss right now before we go into the details. Okay, let me see the chat. So I have Sarmat, and yeah, Sarmat, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. So if we think that SAC 52 is a good relevant document, which of course it is, I think it's useful to keep it here because these recommendations also go to CCNSO. And what's happening within GNSO doesn't necessarily, obviously, is going to apply to CCNSO. So it is still useful to have this here so that when these recommendations go to CCNSO and CCNSO is also considering single characters as possible IDN CCTLDs, they also consider this recommendation from SM. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. AJ agrees. And Mirjana agrees. All right, so let's keep it here. The one thing, though, and I think we don't have to elaborate on this one, unless because otherwise we will just repeat in SAC 52. The one thing that I think it was Edmund saying that he doesn't fully agree, but so we may need to find a different word here, just to refer back to 052. So we'll take care of that. Any other reactions on this one? I don't think we need to develop anything more. If everybody agrees that we are keeping this because this report or this study will be delivered to CCNSO and GNSO, we want to keep it more so for CCNSO people than GNSO, which they have their own subsequent procedures PDP on in progress. Okay, I see no hands up, so we'll keep it this way. We'll just work on something here that does not convey fully agreement, but just a just pointing people to read the SAC 052. Okay, so let's move on and continue with looking at the other questions that we collected through our scope discovery process. And let's go through them. And some of these questions may have already been answered in the recommendation above, so please don't be scared by the size of this list. All right, so let's go through that. The first one that we have here is talks about existing UTLDs and CTLDs should be valued through the rules and LGR. So the validation, and just, I mean, this is a title validation, is not required. Should we require it in the MATI? So we established that the rules on LGR is the only source to validate TLDs. I don't think we have addressed existing TLDs. But we said in our early discussions that existing TLD must be grandfathered, and of course, that's the obvious, but I mean, we may want to just state the obvious anyways. And we did say early on that we want to recommend generation panels to do a repertoire analysis against existing TLDs to propose any mitigation measures and propose mitigation measures. I'm not sure what we meant with this. And I guess mitigation measures against TLDs may not that are deemed invalid per the new per the rules on AGR. That might be the case. Any
we have Ajay in the queue, and then I'll put myself in the queue as well.
Okay, Ajay.
No, I am not in the queue. I got disconnected. I am just trying to get into the room again.
Okay. So Sarmat, please.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to say, I wanted to say something. Are we addressing, let us say, the rule on LGR is into the integrated already, and we found that there is one existing GTLD for IDN is not validating, then how do you deal that situation?
Yes, I mean, we talk about that case may be possible. I don't think it's the case or at least I'm not aware of any case of those scripts already integrated into the rules on AGR that may render a existing TLD invalid, but it's possible. So what to do, right? I think one thing is clear, is grandfather, should be grandfather, but do we propose anything beyond that, or should we just defer to each of the generation or integration panels to develop a mitigation measures if such case arises? AJ. Okay, Concours, Sarmat, you're on the queue. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So I think based on our previous discussion, we had actually suggested that the GPs must develop a solution which validates all the TLDs. And they should check this explicitly before they submit their rules on LGR procedure, and identify any such cases while going into the public comment, so that the community actually knows about it and can comment about it. And then obviously, if for some reason which I can't really think of at this time, there is a case where an existing TLD has to be invalidated, the GP must provide very good reasons why it rules on LGR proposal cannot be updated to incorporate it, as well as what to do with that TLD, how to address that TLD. So I think we wanted the GP to do a reasonable, very careful analysis of such situations in their proposal, which actually then can be addressed during the public comment by the rest of the community as well. And just FYI, we do this check internally within the integration panel as well. So whenever we get a proposal from a generation panel, we actually test it against the existing TLDs for that particular script to make sure that all the TLDs actually are valid. We've not come across a case yet where an existing TLD has not been valid given the given the proposal by the generation panel. So it's not a problem which has occurred so far, but it can obviously occur in the future.
Thank you, Sarmat. Any other input?
Yeah, I think Ajay Data for record. I was about to say that I guess I heard Sarmat even in the past that we checked this against the existing TLDs. And Dennis, do you think that this practice should be continued, because I don't think it is documented practice somewhere where the IP is checking it to avoid the future collision, or it is not something which we should do something about it.
So the question is, if we should issue this recommendation, I think the answer is yes. I think someone said that this practice is being done by ICANN staff or the integration panel, but not the generation panel themselves. So I think we want to flow down the task or the ownership of this task to the generation panel so that they are aware that their proposals are maybe rendering an existing TLD invalid, which they need to look again and see if they need to address that missing code point or removing a whole level evaluation rule or what have you.
I get you, but I, being part of the LGR Sarmad, we did not have this kind of process or a discussion within the GP for validating the. This was part of IP, as I heard you before and today. So
right. That's what we are suggesting, that IP is still doing it, but I think it's probably more effective if the GP does it, because as Dennis was saying, it's really the GP which is proposing the solution. So if GP is aware of it, they can really propose a solution around it. Obviously, IP can just point it out, but they are not really able to propose a solution around it, except that saying that this LGR is not acceptable. So it's eventually it comes on GP's plate for address only in any case. But I think it is important that the GP knows if it is invalidating an existing TLD, because I think that's a significant thing.
Okay. And GP need to be provided these tools to and these labels, list of labels to validate and check. So if
the GP asks for it, ICANN staff can do that analysis and present the results. They can also do the same thing using the LGR tool online directly. So the tools are available, the support is available. I guess if the GP asks for it, we can certainly do it as well. Thank you.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think this will go up into the recommendations. Sorry, I lost my pointer, so I'm not sure where I'm going. Okay, let's do it that way. There you go. All right. Here, where we are. All right, let's move on. So we address that one. We have some language to be elaborated in the section above. Let's move on. Now we have this, the next point. Routon LGR must be used to calculate valid TLDs. Yep. Let me see. So I'm scrolling up just to see where we are. Yep. So on number two, we're saying for the scripts and writing system which have been integrated in the Routon LGR, that Routon LGR must be the only source to validate and apply for label and determine its valid labels with corresponding dispositions. Okay. And so this particular point is already addressing number two. So let me just put address in number two above. This particular question is already addressed. What to deal? But then do we have subsequent questions about how to deal with collisions when two valid TLDs are delegated to different registry operators? Um, So this is in the case of the existing TLDs. In this scope, do we seem to raise the issue? Well, I think the rules on NGR needs to be used to find the issue, but I don't think it's in our mandate to develop a solution. That will be something policy will need to look at, but certainly the rules on NGR will help to discover the issue or the problem. And I see Sharma raising hand. Please, Sharma, go ahead.
So could we use the similar situation or solution as we used before, where we say that if, you know, a collision is almost as significant as invalidating a TLD label. So if there is such a collision based on the root zone FGR solution, the generation panel really should address it. Well, first of all, they should check it. And if it, there is one, then they need to really somehow develop, identify it in public comment, present their solution on what, you know, how to deal with it. And then based on that, I guess we could go forward. But I think generation panel really should come into that discussion while proposing the root zone LGR, which makes two independent TLDs collide with each other. Thank you. That's just a suggestion, of course.
Thank you, Sarma. Let me take a note and see if anyone else reacts to that. So what we're proposing here is that the generation panel is required to review LGR proposal against existing TLDs and its variants. If a collision arises, then GP must address it by reviewing variant rules, which could mean removal, right? Any reactions to that? So the situation again is there is a LGR proposal for a certain script, and in the exercise of reviewing with existing TLDs and calculating its variance, it's found that a variant or two variants labeled are existing TLDs, but each one of these labels are delegated to different registry operators, which may cause security and stability issues, of course, because they are the invariants, meaning the same label in a certain aspect of the script. So what to do? In that case, the generation panel should be aware of that situation and address the issue. One possibility, they want to press on their proposal. They think it's a strong proposal, that they don't want to deviate from it. That's one possible way, but they will have to justify those variants are already delegated and with different registry operators. Or perhaps they wrote a very hard rule that might not be the case and should not be the case of that variant rule. So then, therefore, a second review will just remove that variant code point and therefore dissolve the variant set. Is there anything else that we should say here?
Or we just refer back to the generation panel?
Yes,
I just wanted to add a small note, not something perhaps we want to note, but could be noted as well, but just an explanation. These kind of cases may actually, for example, arise when we are doing cross-cut variants, for example, between Cyrillic, Latin, and Greek, or some of those cases. So I think that's one of the contexts in which this could become relevant. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. All right, hearing none, I think at least we have something to develop the recommendation or the point above, so let's keep moving. The other question that we considered was, does the roots on LGR calculation override self-identified Banyan TLDs? And so just as a way of background, right, if you remember, I mean, those that were involved in the last round of new UTLDs, TLD applicants were required to self-identify or self-calculate, if you will, Banyans for their apply for TLD. Of course, these self-identified Banyans were not up for delegation. It was just as an informational, for informational purposes, perhaps so that ICANN organization would identify collisions if they arise based on self-identified variants. But these variants were never delegated. So now that the roots on LGR will be put in place, and I think we said the roots on LGR should be used to also validate existing TLDs and calculate their variants. So I think this answer is... This question is moot because the roots on LGR will calculate the variance and the roots on LGR is the only source to validate TLDs and calculate its variance. So I think the answer to this one is yes. The roots on LGR will override the self-identified variance. I see. Sarmat, please go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, just commenting too frequently here, but I think there are two separate cases. I shared a link as well. If you see, there is actually a desired variant column on this website, and it is for some of the Arabic and Chinese, we do actually see ID and CCTLDs, which are identified as in the desired variant column for some cases. There is a case of ID and CCTLDs which we need to handle, and there is also a case for similar case for ID and GTLD variants which we need to handle, I guess, separately. To be able to handle it, I think we may want to look at the exact language, which is in the applicant guidebook for ID and GTLDs, and also the exact language, which is in the ID and CCTLD fast track process. Those languages are not the same. They still may mean that these are not considered, but I would suggest that we look at the exact language maybe also we refer to that language as well while we make our recommendation. And if you give me a second, I'll give you exact references to both AGB as well as fast track process for that language as well, so that we can at least look at it and based on what that language says, suggest next steps and make sure that, you know, they agree with what is being suggested for the two different kind of TLDs. So I'll just share those things in the chat just right now. Just give me a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Salman. Yes. Yes, let's remember we're doing this for CCs and Gs. So yeah, applicant guidebook is for the GTLDs and the fast track process for the CCTLDs, ID and CCTLDs. All right, so while Salman is retrieving that information, we'll move on to the next one. And I think this is obvious based on our conversation that the chief generation panel must do the value analysis against existing TLDs so that they can propose mitigation measures if such collision cases or invalid variant labels arise for by the LGR proposal. All right, any before moving on to the next item, any reactions, comments? All right, hearing none, let's keep going. Next item is variant labels of existing GTLDs and CCTLD must be identified using a Roton LGR. Such variant labels should not be allocated to a different applicant following the IDU and variant TLD managed process. Now, so the first part, that's true. We already said that, alright, that the Roton LGR must be used to validate the variant labels of existing GTLDs. And on the second part, so we are referring to the ID environment TLD management process, but now this management process does not exist yet, and it's still going to take some time to be developed by the supporting organization. So not sure if we need, if we, or we should we reference it right here.
So I put the exact language in the ID invariant section for GTLDs. I'm doing the same for CCTLDs.
Thank you, Sarma. Okay, let's move on. Next item is Roton LGR calculations should be applied equally for validation and variant labels of GTLDs and CTLDs. I think we all agree on this one. We're not talking about policy or what's the criteria that will make a genetic TLD or a CC country code TLD valid per their own policies. But we are just saying that the rules on LGR should be the gatekeeper, if you will, for valid labels, valid DNS labels, right? And we're not talking about whether they are eligible for a country code label or a genetic label, be it a brand, geo name, or genetic open TLD. We're just determining whether those labels are valid per the label generation rules. Does anyone have a different opinion? Okay, hearing none, I guess you all agree. Silence is agreement, so speak now or forever hold your peace. All right. So we will add this as a sub-bullet number 2. Let's move on. Based on the calculations of rules on LGR, the follow-up additional constraints can be different between GTLD and CCTLD as per the policy and processes for GTLD respectively. Yeah, so we're talking about the subsequent policy that will render a genetic TLD or a country code TLD eligible for those type of top-level domain names. So I think this is just a clarification that we can add or we just remove, because we're not dealing with any policy. We're just doing merely calculating whether a TLD label is a valid DNS label per the IDNA 2008 and other rules. All right, looking at the chat window to see any reactions. Have Sarma raising the hand. Sarma, please go ahead.
Yes, I guess in this particular recommendation, what we are saying is that additional constraint may actually be applied. I'm not sure whether that's obvious or that is something we should say. So, for example, for IDN CCTLDs, there is an additional constraint that the script has to be official language of the country, and the label or string has to be meaningful for that country. So there are some additional constraints which apply in addition to being just valid by the root zone LGR. I guess we were just saying that those additional constraints can be different for GTLDs and CCTLDs. Still a policy matter, not really, of course, a root zone LGR matter.
Right. And so that's the question, right? Do we want to I think it is obvious for CCNSO and GNSO will want to impose additional constraints to what makes a country code TLD eligible for being a CCTLD, and same thing for a GTLD. So do we need to remind them that that's what they are going to do or they want to do? Perhaps I'm just saving a few words in the report, but I'm just asking the group.
Ajay Datta here for record. I was trying to raise hand. Some indication is not reaching to you. Can I speak?
Go ahead, Ajay.
Okay. So, stepping back one step for the last point and then here, the word written at the end of the sentence is GTLD and CCTLD. And it may sound silly, but do you think, is it okay to just write TLD there so that it is a bit future-proof and any kind of TLD also comes in that is being taken care? And we can just mention this top-level domain everywhere, wherever we are reading these two terms. Does it make sense to you, or we need to be cover this in two words? Am I not listening? Anybody? Are you able to listen to me? I don't know. It just went silent.
Sorry, I was speaking on mute. What I was saying, sorry. I hear you, Ajit. So what I was saying is that in certain parts of this report, it makes sense to just use a generic term TLD. But in certain ones, we want to make clear that we are issuing these recommendations for both supporting organizations, because each organization have their own policies, and we want to make sure really develop their policies around this report. So again, in a short answer, would it make sense? We will condense and we will just refer to TLDs generically. And in other cases, we want to make the distinction so that it's clear that we want them to look at this in different ways.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Ajay. So I think we have more on the let's develop a little bit on this direction, just remind them, supporting organization, that they are still expected to issue additional constraints in validating their own TLDs in their respective realms, but let's not go crazy about it and try to, go beyond the what is needed. So we'll keep it and include it in number two as a sub-bullet or somewhere in between. All right. So I think we've covered a lot of ground today. So I'm happy with that. So we have a little bit of homework now to develop these items, bullets into recommendations or included in the existing ones, and we'll review that next week in order to see how that's progressing. Okay, we are 4 minutes to the top of the hour. Let's do just our usual calendar check where we are. So next Monday is December 3rd. We're planning to have our next meeting on next Monday, same time, same channel. And so any other comments before we close this meeting? All right, hearing now. Well, I hope you have a very good Monday and good rest of the week, and we'll talk again on next Monday. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your holidays, Dennis. Thank you very much. Enjoy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Summer, can you send me a copy of the chat room, please?
Sure, will do.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.